Peace of the Lord be with you. Hey, give some love to Voices of Hope for leading us tonight. So good. So good. Tonight, I want to give you a gift. It's a gift that you will need in your life. You might need it right now, but if you don't feel particularly like you're in the situation for this gift, I promise you that you will need it in the future. Because life happens. The gift that I want to give you tonight is a scripture verse, a few verses. It's in Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to actually start in verse 14 through 33. But this is one of those scriptures that you need to keep in your back pocket and keep with you all the time. Or one of those scriptures that you want to groove on the vinyl of your heart, because there will be a moment when you need to put the needle down and you need to hear these words reverberate in your soul. Hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the book of Lamentations. And so I say, verse 18, and so I say, gone is my glory and all that I hoped for from the Lord. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Every morning they are new. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in you. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope. To give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, because this is one of those scriptures you need to know. Some of you already know this already. But there will come a day, a time, a moment, a circumstance in your life where there will be an affliction. Something that is not what you had planned, and it will consume you like wormwood or gall. This is a scripture that reminds us that there is another way to think about our circumstances. All of you are here for a particular hope. You have this, you're at college, you're taking classes, you have a major, you have a vision, some of you, of what is next after life. And you are pursuing that vision, as you should, with all that you have. There's a vision of the good, of the glory that you're going to pursue. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. It's an undefined future. And everything you have is bending towards that hope. But what happens when you're there and then all of a sudden that hope is gone? The circumstances in your life, for whatever reason, change. You get that phone call. The doctor sits you down. You get that letter. And everything you hope for isn't what you had thought. What do you do then? What hope do you have then? It raises the question, where's God in this? God, can I trust you with my life, my real life? Have you abandoned me? This is one of those scriptures that reframes that moment and says to us that we can trust God. It's an act of faith, truly, but that doesn't make it wrong. The word is clear that we can trust God. Lamentations is a concentrated and intense biblical witness to the question of suffering. And if you are a human being, you will suffer. No one gets a pass. No one is immune. Just because you claim Christ as Lord does not mean that the affliction will not come for you. And so we need these scriptures to remind us how to respond, how to think, how to engage, what we can hope in those moments. Tonight, I want to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Todd Billings, who is the Girard Research Professor at Western Theological Seminary. Todd is one of my dearest and closest friends. We came to Hope the same year. We've kind of traveled shoulder to shoulder as we were, both our families were fighting infertility, praying that God would give us children, and now God has given us children. Now we're praying, God, help us with these children.
Yeah.
Survival. Todd is genuinely, and I mean this in no hyperbole, one of the smartest people that I know, and I know a lot of smart people. Like last week, he published another book. He is one of the most faithful reflectors on scripture and theology that I know. And yet, he is a living this scripture out in his own life. And so I've invited him here just to share his story with us tonight. Would you please give a warm welcome to Dr. Todd Billings? So, Todd, talk to us a little about how this particular passage in Lamentations relates to your own life and your own story right now.
Well, it relates in a number of ways. On the most basic level, just as all of us were singing to King Jesus and that he is king, that is true, and the world is not the way things are supposed to be. And so whether it's on a global level, on the level of unbelief, of injustice, we have laments in Scripture to actually help us live into this confession that God in Christ is King, mm-hmm. and that actually critiques the world around us. But it came to a different level for me 5 years ago, when some of our prayers were answered, after some of our prayers were answered for children, my wife and I were able to adopt a lovely little girl from Ethiopia, and then she got pregnant after that, and we had a boy, Nathaniel, and I was actually in the doctor's office working on a book manuscript.
Of course you were.
When
because when I'm in the doctor's office, that's what I'm doing, working on a book.
When my doctor said, you have cancer, and it's not curable, and I could tell that it was not a good cancer when I was being checked out, and the nurse refused to say the name of it aloud, and whispered it into the phone. for the referral. And so it took me completely off guard. I mean, I had been having a lot of problems with my immune system, but you know, just because you get sick a lot doesn't mean that you expect that you're going to have a cancer that I was about 30 years below the median age
for
this.
What is the name of the cancer?
Multiple myeloma.
Multiple myeloma.
So I don't have very many photos, but I have a few here. Let's see if this works. This is actually taken the morning of the day when I started chemotherapy. And it was one of the reasons that I show this and show some pictures is that this is actually key for how I discovered laments in the Bible. I tended to skip over them. I tended to cherry pick in the Psalms to the happy Psalms. But it turns out that there's more laments than any other type of psalm, about a third of the psalm. And so I was missing out on a lot. But even with my diagnosis, I mean, I was of course grieving and sad, but I mean, it's one thing, the world can go on just fine without me, but why would God answer the prayers of bringing Nettie from Ethiopia, and she's such a gift, just always so much life, and giving us Nathaniel just to take away their dad within a few years. And so that was what pushed me more to rediscover biblical laments. And one thing about this Lamentations 3 chapter is it's very similar in its structure to the laments in the Psalms. And so in the coming months, I tried to be open with them about what was going on. I had a port for a certain amount of time where the cancer treatment would come through that port, and I needed some sort of cart for that, so I found a nice pink shopping cart here. I would bring them actually to the cancer center at times, but they couldn't really understand what was happening. They couldn't understand, you know, the 5 to 7 year median lifespan for someone with this cancer. I did let others know at the seminary, and they came around me in prayer and in solidarity and with shaved heads. On the day in which I had to have my head shaved before an intensive chemotherapy, about a dozen men and one female student in the community all shaved their heads in solidarity, so I wouldn't be alone in that. I was actually going to be there for the event and the head shaving, but I had to enter into the hospital earlier than expected. So some of what that involved in the first year was a stem cell transplant, which after about 3 or 4 months of fairly intensive chemotherapy, you go into the hospital for about a month, and they give you a really intensive chemotherapy. It's a derivative of mustard gas that they put in your veins. And then they take some of your healthy stem cells and put them in your body, and they hope that your immune system starts up again, because the strong chemotherapy leaves you with basically a zero white blood count. So during that time, the only way I could see my kids was through Skype. I was thankful for Skype. But I had a month in hospital, about 3 months in quarantine. And it continues to be a part of my story to this day. I continue to be on chemotherapy. I'm on a lower dose now, so I can be back to teaching, but I'm tested every 3 months to see what my cancer levels are. And so mortality and dying is much more a part of my everyday life than it used to be.
Yeah.
So in the laments here, and in turning to God in hope, it has an extra resonance for me. Maybe I'll just start off with that.
Yeah, well, so tell us a little. I mean, so one of the things is that the Psalms, the scriptures, Lamentations, you talked about how it has in Lamentations, is a structure of the laments. But one of the first things about a lament is that it laments, right? It names, it's honest, I guess. And I think sometimes in the Christian life, we can try to say, hey, we're great. How are you doing today? We're fine. I'm great. Everything's okay. And the scriptures remind us it's okay to say that it's not. And so I'm wondering for you, what's been important about being honest about this affliction? Has it been like it's described, like your soul is downcast? It's been continually, it's eaten at you like wormwood. It's consumed you. What's been your experience in being honest about that reality?
Yeah, the beauty of laments is that there's a whole range there where you bring before God the emotions that we generally don't bring into the sanctuary or feel like we shouldn't. So there's the anguish, there's the despair. Even in this, all I'd hoped for from the Lord seemed like it was gone. There is the just the questioning, even the protest. God, why have you forsaken me? Why has this taken place?
Right.
But I sense that when there is a disruption in our world, and by this I mean what we were thinking of our future, as you think of, you know, future after college and so forth, you should make plans. That's good. But your plans won't stay. And when that is broken into and you realize you are not the master of the universe, you are not even the master of your own story, then you're going to have anger and anguish and fear and confusion. And what the laments do is they actually bring that before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you can either hide away and become bitter, or you can bring that before the Lord. And sometimes people feel like, oh, I should just be happy right away. Like a friend who had been married for many years, and he lost his wife, and he came up to me and said, I know that I should be happy because she's in a better place, but it just hurts right now.
Yeah, right.
And it should hurt. Right. And I think that if we really trust God, we should trust God enough to lament. I mean, Jesus mm-hmm. himself prayed and sang laments, and he lamented in the garden, he lamented on the cross. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even I used to think, oh, you know, lament, that's for other people just in crisis. Well, for Jesus, even with the way in which he and his followers would pray through the Psalms, it wasn't just in crisis. This was part of their right. daily bread, in a sense.
Right.
And so if we trust God enough to bring this before the Lord when it doesn't look like he is king, when it doesn't look like there's the victory that we were just singing about, then we have an actual intimacy with the Lord.
Right.
If you know somebody and you have an issue with them, if they're just a stranger, you may not confront them. It takes a lot of vulnerability to confront them. But if you have a close friend, or if you have an issue with your spouse and you decide not to confront them, that is death to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Say that again. Make sure, I want to make sure everyone heard that right.
If you have a close relationship with someone and an issue comes up that you are angry about and you don't confront them with it, then your relationship's going to die. It's going to ice over.
Right.
And so being willing to bring even these seemingly quite harsh laments and lamentations before the Lord is actually a sign of trust.
Trust, right. So there's like this interesting tension in the like, I mean, there's the honesty about the lament. Like, I am thinking about this. This is consuming me. It's like wormwood and gall.
Yeah. It's poison.
And my soul is downcast within me, right? I can't stop thinking about this. And yet, it says I call this to mind. And what he calls to mind is the hesed, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every day. It goes on to say that the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. Which is a really interesting and immediate, that holding that tension together, like, hey, we can lament, and yet, because of who God is, God's got this. He can take this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have
mm-hmm.
to hide from God or be bitter about God. And yet that holds a, it doesn't take the affliction away.
No.
And I think sometimes there's this kind of theology that says, well, if I trust God, if I pray to God enough, if I do enough good or alms, then God will take, we have a contract almost with God,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
rather than a theology of the trust. And so I'm wondering if you could just speak briefly to how that hope of trust has shaped how you have lived with your cancer?
Well, that turn toward hope is, I think it's key to the laments themselves, and it's been key in my own journey. Because both the psalmist and here, when it speaks of God's loving kindness, covenant faithfulness, it's not saying that my circumstances will improve. It's not saying that, in my case, a new treatment will come out that will allow me to live until I'm 80 and get to see my kids when I'm old and go to Little League games and so on. It's not saying any of that. It's putting hope in one place, and that is the Lord, the Lord's character, the Lord has promised this. And I think even in the lament part, even in the complaint part, it's not just an emotion dump on the Lord. It's actually a complaint that is based on the Lord's promises. Look, Lord, you said you are king. This does not look like a kingdom to me. This does not look like your reign. Where are you? So, Lord, why have you hidden your face from me, the psalmist says. Well, that's important because it's in the Old Testament as well. The Lord promises to show his face to his people. So it's kind of the inverse of it. And even in this passage in Lamentations 3, I mean, some of this is just bone-chilling. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 11, he led me off my way and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. And as I was thinking about that, struggling with that, one commentator noted that in some sense, this is like Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, but on the inverse. Now, it's not going out and declaring that the Lord is malicious toward us or that the Lord is an enemy, but it's saying, this is how it feels, right?
Right.
And that's why we bring that complaint before the Lord. And so, if our complaint is based on God's promises, when we hope, that's not based off of everything improving, my life getting back to what it was before. Oftentimes when we, you know, pray for people in the hospital, we just pray for them to get out of the hospital. And I mean, that's a good thing, but yeah. God may be doing other things. So,
the issue of prayer and how we respond. I mean, we've had some conversations about this, but, you know, of... what advice do you have in terms of how the laments teach us how we should pray for someone who has an affliction? How should we not pray in that situation?
Well, I think that if you're praying with the person, praying the Psalms and even praying laments in this sort of fashion can be a helpful thing. I think that often what people experience who have terminal illnesses like myself are that a person comes along and prays for a quick fix. And I'm completely open to quick fixes. God doesn't need to get my approval for that. But on the other hand, usually the person themselves is the expert on what is going on. And like in my case, even if there was no detectable cancer left in my body from an MRI, I would still be on chemotherapy for the rest of my life because they would expect it to come back and be quite sure of it. So there's a loss either way.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can seem that the person praying is praying more for their own sake than for your sake. And so to come alongside to both lament and petition to the Lord, in many ways, the prayers of lament mirror our own, the prayers of our Lord that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And we petition, we pray, we ask for the Lord's presence, for the Lord to act. And the Lord will bring healing in me and in others, but it may not be in this life.
Yeah.
And actually, the healing that we have hope for, that we have divine promise for, God hasn't promised to heal my cancer, but he has promised that I will have a body one day that will not decay anymore. Hmm. That, yeah. And that is a lot bigger deal to me than whether I have another 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, amen. So. Amen. What, we're coming down to the end of our time, but do you have a parting thought that you'd love to leave with these beloved students as they think about their life and lament and how to respond to that? Do you have any advice, any thought for them as we come to a close?
Well, I think that sometimes if you're thinking about lament or passages like this, you could think, oh, that's a real downer or something like that. But I think that lament and joy actually go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. When you realize that...
Say that again. That's a good one.
Lament and joy go hand in hand.
Yeah, underline that.
It's when you realize that every breath is a gift. Mm. Every breath is sustained by God. It's not that you had this great life that was all planned and you were in charge and then God comes along and just cuts it off. It's every breath that we have is completely undeserved and a gift. And so the gratitude I have for the time I get to spend with my kids and my wife is just amazing. I mean, I don't deserve it. And even in our section here, it doesn't say that the Lord's faithfulness will be something that you can bank on in the future and like sort of pull out $20 each day. It's his mercies are new every morning. The Lord gives enough grace for each day, like manna. You can't store it up. You don't know what will come tomorrow. But the Lord is the everlasting one. He is worthy of our hope. Yeah. And even if our own life story takes a turn that we can't even make sense of, the Lord has the final word.
Yeah.
And the risen Christ who we meet at the table, he has a final word on death.
Yeah.
Whether we live to be 80 or...
That's right. Well,
younger.
That's a great, I mean, one of the things I love about the laments and in the Psalms, but also in Lamentations, is how they foreshadow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And even as I read this, I'm just going to, we're about to come to the table. And one of the good news of the Christian life is that Jesus gives us a different script because Jesus had affliction. Jesus was homeless. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Jesus waited for the Lord. To the soul that seeks him, Jesus sought the Lord. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jesus. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth. Jesus. To sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it. Jesus did that. Mm-hmm. To put one's mouth to the dust. Jesus did that. Mm. To give one's cheek to the smiter. To be filled with insults. Jesus did that. And so when we say we put our hope in Jesus, we're putting our hope in one who's experienced all of this. And then he took that experience, and he even died at a very, very young age. That's Jesus. That's our Lord. But Jesus, because he was fully human, took all of that humanity in himself, but also because he was fully God, took all of that into God himself. And that's why we hope in Jesus. And so, my friends, as you come to the table tonight, come to Jesus, who teaches us that our lament and our joy are so closely connected that you almost can't tell them apart. And so if you find yourself in a lamentation moment, now or in the future, keep coming to Jesus, because Jesus has come to you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray real quick. Lord, for Todd and his family, for the doctors and the nurses and the researchers and those that fund them, to an economy of health, Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, have mercy and be involved in this moment and these afflictions. And we know that you are, because ever since you came to us, we have seen that. And so we hope in you tonight. We hope in you as we come to the table. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of hope said, amen.